Good morning. Welcome again to our Columbia Mishnah. My name is Ari Rafoff. I'm the Director of Community Initiatives at Yeshiva University Center for the Jewish Future. As you exited the elevator this morning, hopefully you noticed a sign. It's a special week this week at Columbia Mishnah. The Blumenthal family, Avram and Sharon Blumenthal, have dedicated both the Kol Ha'alev and the Jewish Yom Rishon program for this week. So I wanted to take just a quick minute to first say thank you to Sharon and Avram for their dedication and donation of this week's program, which is being sponsored in honor of their 25th wedding anniversary. So we wish them mazel tov. As well, it's in honor of their family's long-standing relationship with Yeshiva University. All of the speakers this week will be speaking on topics related to family. And as I understood it from this morning when I spoke at the Jewish Yeshiva, their son Judah actually had a big part in choreographing the different topics this morning as well. Our speakers this morning have a relationship to the family as well. In just a few moments, we'll be hearing from Rabbi Eli Baruch Shulman, who is a Rosh Yeshiva at Yeshiva University. He is a rabbi at the Yom Yisrael of Midwood, and he also has the opportunity to teach Chaim Blumenthal, Avram and Sharon's son. Rabbi Shulman will be speaking on the topic of Ein Shaliach L'Davar Avera. It's a pleasure to introduce Rabbi Shulman.
Good morning. I'd like to thank the Blumenthals also for affording me this opportunity. And actually the topic that I want to talk about and the idea that I want to develop with you this morning is something that we worked through in Shir also last year. And so it's sort of will be a taste of what their son is doing through the Shir. Position is better. Is that better?
Yes.
Okay. Anyway, let's begin. At the time that the Noded Yehuda served as Rav in Prague, the following incident took place. There was a fellow who wanted to give his wife a get, and she was not interested in receiving the get. And as you know, although Medina de Gemara, a husband can divorce his wife against her will, but there's a Cherem de Rabbeinu Gershon that does not allow one to give a get to a wife if she's not willing. So what this fellow did is he hired some people and he gave them the get, and they forced the get into the wife's hands. And the question therefore arose whether or not this woman is divorced or not. Now, at first glance, it would seem that she definitely is. The get is valid, because even though Rabbeinu Gershon made a takona, a cherem, that you're not supposed to divorce a woman but against her will, but that doesn't invalidate the get. Rabbeinu Gershon didn't have the power to nullify the get. He said, if you do it, you're a no-goodnik, we're going to put you in cherem, we're not going to talk to you. But the get itself would certainly be a valid get. So that's what seemed to be here. The husband that made these fellows as his agents, his shlichim, to deliver the get, they had delivered the get. So we won't give them any more in Aliyah and Shul, but the get itself, l'chara, would be a kosher get. So the Neid of Yehuda, the question came before the Neid of Yehuda. And the Neid of Yehuda ruled that the get was not valid at all. The woman was not divorced. And he invoked the principle of Ein Shliach L'Dvar Avera. He said, after all, the get had not been given by the husband himself, it had been given by shlichim, by his agents. And these shlichim were doing an Avera. The husband had told them to do an Avera, to be Megarsh's wife against her will. It's an Avera. You're violating the Takana Sakol, the Takana of Rabbeinu Gershon. That's certainly an Avera. A Jew is not allowed to violate Cherem de Rabbeinu Gershon. So in effect, he was making them shlichim to do an Avera. And we know the Gemara says in Kiddushin and elsewhere that we have a rule, Ein Shliach L'Dvar Avera. You cannot be a shliach to do an aver. I send a shliach to kill somebody, says the Gemara, he's the murderer, not me. The Gemara explains the reason being that we say, divrei harav, divrei talmid, divrei mi shomim, you have a choice between listening to the master, the Ribbono Shel Olam, says, don't kill. Lois Yitzach. And I, the Mishalech, tell the Shliach that he should be a Yitzach. So who should he have listened to? He should have listened to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Therefore, the Shlichus is not a Shlichus, and the murder, the onus of the murder is on him and not on me. Incidentally, it's sort of in Yonah Diyoma, we just said yesterday, we just read Parshas Bereishis, the story of the Nochash, and the Gemara says in Sanhedrin that the Nochash really could have said to the Ribbono Shel Olam, when the Ribbono Shel Olam took him to task for tempting Chava and Adam HaRishon into sin, so the Nochash really could have said, Divrei Rava, Divrei Talmud, Divrei Mishnah, they had no business listening to me, it's not my fault, they shouldn't have listened. So there also we have this concept of Divrei Rava, Divrei Talmud, Divrei Mishnah. Said the Nei of Yehuda, therefore the Shlichus is not valid, they had no business listening to the Mishaleach, and if there's no Shlichus, then there's no get. This psak of the Nei of Yehuda aroused a very fierce controversy in rabbinic circles. The Nei of Yehuda, first of all, got a letter from his Mechutin, who was also a Chashev Rav, taking him to task, and other Rabbanim got involved, and all the Beile Hador at the time became involved in this polemic. The issue in the polemic was what was being argued back and forth. And the whole literature grew up around this question is, what do we mean when we say Ein Shliach L'Dvar Aveira? Does that mean, as the Nei of Yehuda apparently understood it, that if I make you a Shliach to do an Aveira, you're not a Shliach? The Shlichus is not Chal. Is that what Ein Shliach L'Dvar Aveira means? Or does Ein Shliach L'Dvar Aveira merely mean that if I make you a Shliach to do an Aveira for me, it's not my Aveira? The Aveira does not relate back to me. But the shlichus per se is a valid shlichus. So in the case at hand, the fellow, the husband, made these people shlichim to do the avera of being megarish his wife against her will. The Nei of Yehuda understood that since that's an avera, they're not shlichim at all. If they're not shlichim at all, then the get is not chal. And the other, those who took issue with the Nei of Yehuda, they said, ein shlich l'dvar avera just means that the husband doesn't get the avera of violating cherem derabbeinu gershom. So the person who will be in Chayrim will be, let's say, the Shliach and not the husband. But that doesn't mean that the underlying Shlichus is not valid. The underlying Shlichus remains a valid Shlichus. And the get, therefore, remains a valid get. And this was argued back and forth, and it didn't really come to any clear resolution. Two camps of Achrayim had to understand the notion of Ein Shliach L'Dvar Aveira. And the truth is, there's indications that it's really, as the Achrayim themselves pointed out, that it's really an issue among the Rishonim as well. Tosis and Bava Metzia and Daf Yudam Adeis, which I'm not going to talk about today, but Tosis over there seems to have tutzdodim about this very Shaila. And of course, the Nei of Yehuda wasn't blind to that, and he said, no, that's not the Pshat in Tosis, and other Achrayim said, yes, it is. But it's an issue that's already discussed in the Rishonim over there in Bava Metzia. This question would seem to take us into the heart of understanding what does Divrei Rava, Divrei Talmud, Divrei Mishnayim really mean. And it seems to me, although the Rebbe Yehuda does not make this point, it seems to me that this really should hinge on a famous machlokes between the Sma and Rabbi Kveger, how to define Divrei Rava, Divrei Talmud, Divrei Mishnayim. The Sma writes in Shulchan Aruch and Kuf Pei Beis that Divrei Rava, Divrei Talmud, Divrei Mishnayim means that the Mishaleach, the fellow who sent the Shliach, can say, I didn't think he would listen. I didn't think he would. Not so, you can't blame me. I didn't think the Shliach is going to listen to me to do an Avera, so I told him, go kill somebody. I didn't really believe that he would take it seriously. Doesn't he know that it says in Torah you're not allowed to kill? Therefore, that's the idea of Divrei Rava, Divrei Talmud, Divrei Mishnayim. It's addressed, it's the Mishaleach talking. The Mishaleach says, don't blame me, I didn't think he would listen. Rabbi Kveger, in Bava Metzia, in the Chidushim, Bava Metzia, there in Daf Yud, where you have one of the sugyos of Ein Shliach L'Dvar Aveira, Rabbi Kveger says he doesn't think that that's the pshat. He thinks Divrei Rava, Divrei Talmud, Divrei Mishnayim is something that we say to the Shliach. You, Shliach, what business did you have to listen? You shouldn't have listened, you should have listened. Shouldn't have listened to the Mishaleach, rather you should have listened to the Ribbono Shel Olam. The particular case that they're arguing about is, let's say you have a Shliach who we know is an Oisbof. Everybody knows this Shliach is a gangster, belongs to the Mafia. And I send him as a Shliach to bump somebody off. Do we still say that Ein Shliach L'Dvar Aveira? So the Sma argues that in that case you can't say Ein Shliach L'Dvar Avera. The whole idea of Ein Shliach L'Dvar Avera is the Meshalech could say, I didn't think he would listen. So you could say that about an ordinary God-fearing Jew. But if you know this guy, this is what he does. He belongs to Murder Incorporated. He kills people for a living. And you can't say, I didn't think he was going to listen. So then he would be to valid Shlichus, and the Meshalech would then be a murderer. Whereas Rabbi Kvega says, no, that's not the Pshat. Divrei Rabbi Divrei Talmud is not addressed to the Meshalech. It's not the Meshalech saying, I didn't think he would listen. It's something we say to the Shliach. You are not really, you can't consider yourself to be a Shliach because your decision to listen to the Meshalech was not a valid decision. You had no business listening to the Meshalech. And therefore, you don't have the status of a Shliach. A Shliach is somebody who's entitled, who's following orders. He gets the status, he's following somebody else's orders. He's acting on orders, so he's a Shliach. That's only if the orders are valid, if he's allowed, if he's entitled. But if the orders are illegitimate, if they go against what it says in the Torah, then you're not acting on, you can't say I was just following orders. And therefore the Shlichus is not a valid Shlichus. That's the issue that Rabbi Kreger and the Sma are debating when they present these two sides. It seems to me that the issue of the Neidav Yehuda should depend on the same question. If we say that Divrei Rabbi Divrei Talmud means that we say to the Shliach, you had no business listening. So that means we're really saying to the Shliach, you're not a Shliach. You say you're acting on his behalf. You're not really acting on the Meshaleach's behalf, because you shouldn't have been listening to him. So your orders are not valid orders. If your orders are not valid orders, then you're not acting under orders, and you're not a Shliach at all. Whereas, if you hold like the conception of the Sma, that it's the Meshaleach talking. And the Meshaleach is saying, look, I'm not really culpable, because I didn't think he would take it seriously. So it seems that it seems to me at least, that's a svara to pater the Meshaleach. You can't consider me to be culpable. Any kind of chiyuv requires a certain amount of guilt. Whether it's a mezid, it's a higher degree of guilt. A shaygig is a negligent kind of degree of guilt. Here the Meshaleach can say, I'm not so guilty because I didn't really think he would listen. But if it's not, that paters the Meshaleach, but that has nothing to say to the validity of the Shlichus itself. The Shlichus itself might remain a valid Shlichus, the get might remain a valid get. The Meshaleach could say, but it's not my fault, and therefore you can't punish me. So according to the Sma, Divrei Rabbi Divrei Talmud is addressed to fault. The Meshaleach says, I'm not at fault, I didn't think you would listen. According to Rabbi Kreger, it's addressed to the validity of the Shlichus itself, of the Etzem HaShlichus. Yes?
By even making the suggestion that you might want to do something that would be...
That could be, but that's not enough of an avera to make him into a murderer. So it'll be over l'fnei, but he's not a murderer. Or a ganav, or a violator of chayim d'rabbein geshen, or whatever particular avera we have in mind.
Yeah, but doesn't he hire the
shaliach, or is it making... There are places we want to suggest that if he hires the shaliach, it's worse. Because then it's a pile, and pile is a different kind of category. Yeah, but that's sort of outside of the purview of it. I want to, right, this particular issue, it remains in Machlokes. The truth is, in Rishonim themselves, we find both of these views expressed. Notice, even though I'm saying it's famous as a Machlokes between the Sma and Rabbi Kvega, but we find in Rishonim themselves both of these kinds of expressions, in Bavin Si and the Taisus Harosh and the Taisus Shans. They use the lashon of Sover Hayoshelo Yishma, the language of the Sma. The Meshaleach didn't think he would listen. On the other hand, Rashi in Bavin Si and Daf Yud. I don't know if you have the Gemara, this Gemara in front of you or not. I don't know what they reproduced for you. If you have the Gemara Bavin Si and Daf Yud on the base, it's page 20. In the Shas, it's page 20. It has a little 20 on top. So Rashi says in the Dibra Maskil, the Kaimalon, about halfway down, the Kaimalon, the Kiddushin, the Ferag Beis, Barchi Yubuhu. No, I'm sorry, the Dibra Maskil is Barchi Yubuhu. She'afu Muzer al Adover, Hosam Potter, Shaleach, the Aminon, here's the critical words, the Aminon lay, Divrei Rabbi, Divrei Talmud, Divrei Mishaimin. Rashi says, Divrei Rabbi Divrei Talmud is something that Aminan lay. We say to him. Not he says to us, but we say to him. Who's the him? We is we in the abstract. But who's the him? We say to him, Divrei Rabbi, Divrei Talmud, Divrei Mishaymi. According to the Sma and the Tosfos HaRosh, that it's the Mishaleach saying, it's not my fault. It's not saying, this is not something we say to him, it's something he says, so to speak, to us. Don't blame me, I didn't think you would listen. Rashi says, Divrei Rabbi is something we say to him. Presumably, Rashi means, we say to the Shliach, you had no business listening. So you are not a Shliach. So I think Rashi's language is more like Rabbi Greger, clearly like Rabbi Greger, that this is something that we say to the Shliach and thereby invalidate the Shlichus. I want to discuss another point over here within the issue of Divrei Rabbi, Divrei Talmud. And I want to develop a new thought. There's a question in the Rishonim, the major machlekes Rishonim. What happens if you send the shliach to do an avera, but the shliach doesn't know that it's an avera at all? If the shliach is a shogeg. We can imagine many such cases. You send the shliach to be mechal Shabbos, but you know the shliach doesn't realize that it's Shabbos at all. Or you send the shliach, a kohen sends the shliach to the Mekadosh Agusha, and the shliach doesn't know that she's a Agusha. We can imagine many, many cases. Do we still say ein shliach l'dvar aveira? So Tosfos says, Tosfos maintains that in such a case, we don't apply the rule of ein shliach l'dvar aveira. For the simple reason that ein shliach l'dvar aveira is built on divrei rabbi, divrei talmud, divrei mishaymi. I didn't think he would listen, he shouldn't have listened, however we're going to express it. That only makes sense if the shliach knew that it's an avera. So he should have listened to the Ribbono Shel Olam and not listened to me. But if the shliach didn't know that it's an avera at all, so you can't say to the shliach, he should have listened to the Ribbono Shel Olam. He didn't know the Ribbono Shel Olam says that it's also. So in such a case, he is a shliach like any other shliach. It doesn't make sense to say to him, divrei rabbi, divrei talmud, divrei mishaymim, and the shlichus would be valid. So therefore Tosfos says, you send the shliach to do an avera, but he doesn't know that it's an avera, then the shlichus goes through, and the avera goes back to the mishaleach. The Ritva disagrees. And the Ritva says that, although it's true that in this particular case, it doesn't really make sense to say divrei rabbi, divrei talmud, divrei mishaymim. But the Ritva says that divrei rabbi, divrei talmud is not something we apply on a case, the svar of divrei rabbi. It's not something we apply on a case-by-case basis. Divrei Rabbi, Divrei Talmud, Divrei Mishaymim is a general svara that teaches me that the Torah didn't create shlichus for averus. But once we know that concept, we don't then take every particular instance and say, well, should he have listened, should he not have listened? Could I say over here Divrei Rabbi, don't I say over here Divrei Rabbi? We now have a principle. Ein shlich dvar avera, the principle does not admit of any exceptions. Even if in this particular case the shlich had no way of knowing that it's an avera, it makes no difference. The Torah gave us the principle of Ein Shliach L'Dvar Aveira. It was Megala, through the Svar of Divrei Rabbi. The Torah was Megala, principle, Ein Shliach L'Dvar Aveira, and the principle remains true, even if in the particular instance, we can't really say to the Shliach, Divrei Rabbi, Divrei Talmud, Divrei Mishan. So this is the machlokes between Rashi, between Tosfos and the Ritva. There's a stira in Rashi, in regard to the Shaila. There's a Mishnah Bava Kama that Ayin tests. This is really one of Tosfos' proofs. The Mishnah says in the Bava Kama, he's talking about a ganav who, let's say a horse thief, and he sees a corral, somebody else's corral full of horses, and he wants to steal one of the horses. So the Mishnah says, language of the Mishnah is, Nostu lebchoriz b'noi oi lebal choy voi chayev. It's not clear what the Mishnah means, but the way Rashi explains the Mishnah, Rashi explains the Mishnah to be saying the following. This ganav was a clever ganav. He didn't want to get his hands dirty. He didn't want to leave his fingerprints on the ganava. So instead of breaking into the corral and taking the horse, stealing the horse himself, he went over, he owed money to a bal chayev, to his creditor. Or he owed money to a kohen for pidyon haben. So he went over to his creditor, or went over to the kohen whom he owes money, and he said to him, this is my corral of horses. Go take one of the horses and for the payment of the debt. And the ganav thereby gains that he's paid off one of his creditors with somebody else's horse. So the Mishnah says the ganav is chayiv. Rashi's language over there is the ganav, in other words, he becomes the ganav. The fellow who did this trick, he becomes the ganav he's chayev in chiyuvei gneiva and so on. Why? He didn't touch the horse. He didn't steal the horse. The creditor was the one who went into the corral and took the horse away. So why does that work? So Rashi says, because he's a shliach. When I told the creditor, go take a horse, he becomes my shliach, and it's as if I stole. Fret Tosfos asks, what do you mean? Ein shliach l'dvar aveir? How could he be my shliach? It's an aveir. It's an aveir of stealing. And it's just Tosfos. Because the shliach is a shogeg. The shliach doesn't know that it's not my horse. I tricked. It's identity theft. I told the shliach that this. I told the creditor, this is my. These are my horses. And I used somebody else's horse to pay off my debt. But the shliach, the fellow who actually took the horse, thought he did it in all innocence. So therefore, you can't say divrei avdei divrei tamei divrei mishomim, and the shlichus is valid. This is one of Tosfos' proofs that by a shogeg there is shlichus l'dvar aveira, and the proof is built on Rashi's explanation of the mishnah. So it seems that Rashi holds, like Tosfos, that when the shliach is a shogeg, we say ein shliach l'dvar. Then there is shlichus l'dvar aveira. We don't employ the rule. It's an exception to the rule of ein shliach l'dvar aveira. On the other hand, there's another Rashi that seems to contradict this. This is the Rashi in Kiddushin and Daf Nun. The Rashi in Kiddushin and Daf Nun is talking about Me'ilo, the Aveira of Me'ilo. Me'ilo means embezzling from Hekdesh. Me'ilo, a lot of the discussion about Shliach Lidvar Aveira revolves around Me'ilo. But the reason being, Me'ilo is not such a common Aveira. Aveira doesn't even exist as Manazeh at all. But the reason why so much discussion revolves around Me'ilo, the discussion of Ein Shliach L'dvar Aveira, is because Me'ila has unusual rules. And always in any, like in science, you want to test out a theory, you try to set up some unusual case, some place, unusual particle or something, where that'll be a test case to see, because it doesn't have the red, it doesn't work the way everything else works, that'll be like a test case. So Me'ila is a test case for a lot of theories of Shliach L'dvar Aveira, because Me'ila has different rules than most other Aveiras, in two regards. First of all, Me'ila, usually, by most Aveiras, if you do it b'mezid, you're more chayev than if you do it b'shogeg. If you do it b'mezid, you chayev malchus, misa, whatever the Aveiras requires, chorus. If you do it b'shogeg, you only have to bring a korban, there's a lesser level of chayev. Me'ila is unusual in that the whole chayev me'ila is b'shogeg, that you're more chayev b'shogeg than you are b'mezid. Somebody's moil b'shogeg, see, means he's nene from Hekdesh, he steals from Hekdesh, embezzles. So not only does he have to pay it back, but he has to add an extra 25% knas, chaymish, and he has to bring a korban, asham me'ilois. He has all kinds of penalties for being moil be'ekdesh. Whereas if he doesn't b'mezid, he doesn't have any of that. He's just a thief. He has to pay back like any other thief. But the special chiyuvim me'ilo don't apply. So the dinei me'ilo are only b'shogeg and not b'mezid, which makes it a sort of unusual kind of aver. Me'ilo is unusual in another way, in that the Gemara derives from a posuk that by Me'ila there is Shlichus L'dvar Aveira. That's why it's so important as a case, as a test for, as a, in this sugya. The Gemara says that although usually ain't Shlichus L'dvar Aveira, but there's Gzeres HaKosov, that by Me'ila there is Shlichus L'dvar Aveira. So the Gemara says, therefore, if you send a Shliach, it's a Gemara that appears in many, many places. Anybody who learns Daf Yomi will have bumped into this Gemara already several times. You send a Shliach, and you said to him, Have li min achaloin, go bring me this can of Coke that's sitting on the window, and really the can of Coke belongs to Hekdesh. It's a Hekdesh took a can of Coke. And the Shliach doesn't know that, he thinks it's mine, and he comes and he brings it to me. So the Gemara says, the Balabayas, the guy, the fellow who sent the Shliach is Mayel. The Shliach is the Dvar Aveira. The Shliach is not the Mayel, the Mishalech is the Mayel. Because here we say that the Shliach is the Dvar Aveira. They're both Shogegim. That's the case where they're both. Well, the Mishalech is a shogeg anyway. Okay, so now there's a there's a brice in Daf Nun. So Me'ilah is different. It's only the shogeg, and there's Shlichus L'dvar Aveira by Me'ilah. Right, now, let's see if we can follow this. The Gemara says in Daf Nun, quotes a brice, has a case where somebody sent a shliach to be Me'il. The particular case, I think, is that he gave him money of Hekdesh. And he said, go take this money and go to the store and buy me something with this money, which is a kind of me'ilah. And everybody over here is a shogeg. Neither the mishaleach nor the shliach realize that this money is hekdesh. So everybody involved is a shogeg. So the din is, who's me'il? The mishaleach. Because by me'ilah, the shlichus l'dvar aveira. Says the Gemara, what if the balabai, while the shlich is en route to the store, the mishaleach suddenly says, oh, I just realized the money that I gave him was really hektish. Now the mishaleach has become amazed. Says the Braisa, in that case, the shliach is mayor, not the balabayas. The balabayas anyway can't be mayor. Now he's amazed. Amazed is not the chayiv and the ilah. But now the shliach is mayor. Ask Rashi, why is the shliach mayor? He's a shliach. By me'ilah, we say that the shliach is the dvar avera. So the avera should still go back to the mishaleach. The shliach is a... Usually we say en shliach dvar avera. That means you send somebody to do an avera. It's the shliach's avera, not the mishaleach. Me'ilah is the exception to the rule. By me'ilah, we say that it's the mishaleach who gets the avera. So over here, and therefore the shliach does not get the avera. Here when the mishaleach sent the mishaleach realizes that it's money of hektish. So now the mishaleach is amazed. But the shliach is still a shliach. He's still acting under orders. So why don't I say that he continues to be a shliach, and therefore the avera should not be that of the shliach, but it should go back to the mishaleach. The shliach should be off the hook. Answers Rashi. When do we say by me'ilah that there's shliach was the dvar avera? When is me'ilah this exception to the rule that you could be a shliach with dvar avera? When you are a shogeg, when the mishaleach is a shogeg. And therefore, he's in the special category, the special parsha of Me'ilah. But when the Mishaleach is amazed, so then he's outside, the Mishaleach is no longer within the special parsha of Me'ilah, which is limited to Shogegim. He's now a regular, he's just a thief. He's just trying to steal from Hekdash. But he doesn't have the special label, it's not the special Avera of Me'ilah. Once it goes to reverts to just being a regular Avera, then we revert to the regular rule that Ein Shliach L'Dvar Avera. That's the Rashi. It's a little bit of a confusing case. If you don't get all of the nuances, it's not so important for our purposes. The point in Rashi is Rashi says that when the Mishaleach is amazed, Me'ilah stops being special. And since it stops being special, it reverts to the general rule that Ein Shliach L'Dvar Avera, and therefore the Shliach is the one who's culpable. Asks the Tzois, one second, but the Shliach is a Shogeg. Taisa says that by every Avera, if the Shliach is a Shogeg, then there is Shlichus to Dvar Avera. So what difference does it make if this is not the special rule of Me'ilah? It's a regular, plain kind of Avera, just stealing from Ekdash. But if the Shliach is a Shogeg, Taisa says that by every Avera in the world, when the Shliach is a Shogeg, then the Shlichus to Dvar Avera. Apparently you have to say, says the Psoich, that Rashi doesn't agree with Taisa. He always like the Ritva, that when the Shliach is a Shogeg, I still say, Ein Shliach to Dvar Avera. But that gives us a steer in Rashi. Here Rashi seems to hold, like the Ritva, that even though the shliach is a shogeg, we say ein shliach l'dvar avera. By the case of the corral of horses, where the ganav had somebody else do the stealing for him, there Rashi says that there is, that the shliach is valid, presumably, says Taisus, because since the shliach is a shogeg, so we say that the shliach is l'dvar avera. So it seems to be a stira in Rashi. This is the question. So to answer this question, I want to take a look at this Gemara in Bava Metzia, a very fascinating Gemara. The issue that the Gemara is discussing. Do you have this Gemara in Bava Metzia? Dafyud Amud Beis or not? Do I have to know? You have it in front of you. What? Dafyud Amud Beis. Okay. The Gemara is discussing the following issue: a chotzer is kind of. A person can be kind of something through his chatzar. So the Gemara has a question, what's the mechanism of a chatzar? Is a chatzar like an extension of my yad, or is a chatzar a kind of shliach? So the Gemara wants to bring a proof that a chatzar can't possibly be a form of shliach. Because the Gemara quotes a braisa that a ganav could also steal with his chatzar. Say somebody else's horse walks into my chatzar, and I close the door on it and I want to steal it, so even though I don't touch the horse, but my chatzar steals for me. Says the Gemara, if a chotzer is a kind of shliach, so how can my chotzer steal from me? Ain't shliach l'dvar avera. So Gemara, it sounds like a Polish pilpul. The Gemara asked the kasha. So the Gemara answers, Ravina answers, there's several tirutzim in the Gemara, but Ravina answers, he says, when do we say ain't shliach l'dvar avera? When the shliach is a bar chiyuva, when he's also culpable. So then I say ain't shliach l'dvar avera. But the chotzer is not a bar chiyuva. The chotzer is not Jewish, not even human. The chotzer is not going to get any aveir over here. So then you can't say ein shliach l'dvar aveir. Rashi explains what's the logic of this distinction. Says Rashi, since ein shliach l'dvar aveir is built on the idea of divrei rav, divrei talmud, divrei mishonim, though we say to the shliach he shouldn't have listened. That only applies if it's an aveira for the shliach. But if it's not an aveira for the shliach, then we can't say to him, divrei rav, divrei talmud, divrei mishonim. So we can't say to the chotzer, you shouldn't have listened. Because for him, it's not an aveira. For it, it's not an aveira. Of course, the chotzer is not animate anyway. But the Gemara goes on and says, even if it would be a human being, let's say I would tell somebody to do an aveira, but for him, it's not an aveira. The Gemara gives an example. A man tells a woman to cut off somebody's payas. So for the man, it's an aveira. For the woman, it's not an aveira. For the man, it's not there, even to cut off somebody else's pants. For the woman, it's not there at all. So the Gemara says, in that case, the shlichus would be valid. You can't say you shouldn't have listened for her. It's not an aveira. It's only an aveira for him. Maybe an aveira for the person in the barber's chair, too, but it's not an aveira for the woman barber. So therefore, the Gemara says, according to this explanation, according to Ravino, in such a case, the shlichus would be valid because the shliach is not a bar chiyuva, and as Rashi explains, so therefore we can't say to the shliach, divrei rav, divrei talmud, divrei mishonim. You shouldn't have listened. To him, it's for him or her or it. In the case of the chotzer, it's not an aveir at all. Now the Gemara continues. Frek the Gemara. Let's see if you could pick up the place. It says like this: Omer Avino, hechamin and den shliach dvar aveira, hecha de shliach bar chiyuvah. Aval bechotzer de la bar chiyuvah mechayev sholchan. That's what I just told you. So now the Gemara asks: Elameyato, if that's true, Avino, so ha'omer leisha ve'eved su'ug ganvuli. What if somebody said to a married woman or to an Eved? They have in common is they don't have any. The Eved has no property of his own. And a woman could have property of her own. But this is a woman who doesn't have any property of her own. All of her property belongs to her husband. Somebody said to them, go steal from me. They're not bnei chiyuv. Meaning if they steal, they're not going to have to pay because they have no property. So they don't have any chiyuv. So would we say that here that the meshaleich is chayiv here the shlichus l'dvar aveira? In other words, Gemara is asking, Rabbeinu, you're telling me a rule. You only say ein shlichus l'dvar aveira when the shlich is a bar chiyuv. Well, a woman who steals, a married woman who has no money, or an eved who steals who has no money, he's not a bar chiyuv because we can't collect the gneiva from him. So maybe in such a case there would be shlichus l'dvar aveira. If you tell a woman to steal, maybe the shlichus l'dvar aveira and the meshaleich should get the aveira. So my answer is no, it's not comparable. Amrit Isho, the Eved, b'nei chiyuv v'ninu. The woman, the Eved, they have a chiyuv, they have to pay. They also don't have any money to pay. Hashlim yis, les l'shlumi. They just don't have any money now. But if they'll come into money later, then they're going to have to pay. This not as we went to the Mishnah, Nisgarshi, Ishu Nishtachar Eved. If the woman subsequently, after she stole, she gets divorced, and now she has her own money, or the Eved gets freed, and now he has his own money, so chayav l'shchayav l'shalom, then they have to pay for the gneva that they did while they were destitute, because they were fundamentally chayav, they just didn't have anything in the bank. Now they have money to pay, so the chayav really existed. That's the Gemara. So the Achayim asks, the Gemara is a pella. Very strange Gemara. What was the Gemara's question in the first place? Ravina said a principle. You don't say divrei rav, divrei talmud, divrei mishonim when the shliach is not a bar chiyuva, because the whole idea is he shouldn't have listened. If he's not a bar chiyuva, then for him it's not an aveira. So what, the Gemara thought that it's not an aveira for a married woman to steal? The Gemara thought it's not an aveira for an eved to steal? Even in the Gemara's havamina, that an eved and isha, they're not going to be culpable if they steal. They have no money, they're potter. But it's certainly an aveira for them. Certainly not aveira for a person who has no money to go out and steal. Certainly not aveira for an eved to steal. So what did the Gemara think? Just because the eved issue, they're not bnei chiyuv. You can't be mechayev them because they don't have the wherewithal. But it's still an aveira. Why we should still be able to say divrei rav, divrei talmud, divrei mishonim? They had no business listening. It's not analogous to a chotzer. For the chotzer, it's not an aveira at all. It's not even analogous to the woman barber. For the woman barber, it's not an aveira at all to cut off the fellow somebody's payas. For the Eved and the Isha, it's an aveira to steal as much as for anybody else. Maximum, we could say they don't have a chiyuv. They don't have money, so they don't have a chiyuv. So why did Gemara think that this is a case of that this should be going through Rabinu's, this should be an exception to the Ein Shliuchut V'Arvei? And the Gemara doesn't even answer this. The Gemara's answer is just that they really have a chiyuv. Just when they get married, divorced later, or freed later, then they're going to have to pay. But apparently the Gemara still assumes, even in the answer, that if the halach would have been that they're potter forever, then they could be a Shliuchut V'Arvei. What do you mean? It's still an Aveira for them. It's a very difficult Gemara. The way Rashi reads the Gemara. There's other ways to read the whole Gemara. Other Rishonim learn the whole Gemara differently. But the way Rashi reads the Gemara, very difficult to make heads or tails of this Gemara. So I want to suggest the following. It's a chiddush. I want to suggest that Rashi understood, has a new understanding of Divrei Rava, Divrei Talmud, Divrei Mishaimim. We're used to thinking that Divrei Rava, Divrei Talmud, Divrei Mishaimim means, since the Shliach shouldn't have listened, so therefore he's not really under orders. The orders were, like I said before, the orders are illegitimate orders. You can't just say I was just following orders. The orders are, you're not supposed to follow such orders. And therefore he's not a Shliach at all. The basis of his shlichus is illegitimate. So he's not a shliach at all. I think that the Rashi understood, that's not how Rashi understood it. Rashi understood it as follows. If we're going to employ over here the logic of shlichus, then the onus of the Aveira is going to be removed from the shliach and put onto the mishaleach. That will be the logic of shlichus. Wherever shlichus applies, then it's as if the shliach did nothing and everything was done by the mishaleach. Divrei Rava, Divrei Talmud, Divrei Mishaimim says, we cannot exempt the shliach. It would not be right to let the shliach walk off scot-free. Because, after all, he shouldn't have listened. It would be immoral to just let the shliach walk away and say, well, I was just a shliach. Therefore, we have to be mechayev the shliach. The shliach is one who really did the aveir. We have to be mechayev. Since we have to be mechayev him, that ruptures the shlichus. Because if we'll have shlichus, then we won't be able to be mechayev. And we need to be mechayev. It's a moral necessity. We have to be mechayev because divrei Rav, divrei Talmud, divrei Mishaimim. So we must be mechayev. And since we're mechayev the shliach, the chiyuv of the shlichus ruptures the chiyuv of the shliach ruptures the shlichus, because it will be a contradiction. If there will be shlichus, he won't be chayiv, and we need him to be chayiv because our conscience tells us divrei Rava, divrei Talmud, divrei Mishaimim, he has to be chayiv. The ramification of this is that we're saying it's not the Aveira that destroys the Shlichus. It's the Chiyuv that destroys the Shlichus. The order of the logic is we want to be Mechayev the Shliach. In order to be Mechayev the Shliach, we can't have Shlichus. So therefore, Shlichus is destroyed. But it starts with the fact that we want to be Mechayev the Shliach. But what if the Shliach did an Aveira for which he was not Chayev at all? For which he has no chiyuv. For instance, an eved v'ishuv steal. And the Gemara is a havamina that they have no chiyuv at all. It's an avera for them. It's certainly an avera. But it's an avera from which they always walk away scot-free. They have no chiyuv. The Gemara in the havamina thought. The Gemara says it's not true. When they'll come to money, they are going to be chayiv. But the Gemara in the chatchila thought that an eved v'ishuv who steal, they don't have a chiyuv at all. They're not b'nei chiyuv. It's an avera. The Gemara certainly knew that they violate the law of Leisignav. But the Gemara thought these people, Eved v'Ishuv, they violate the law of Leisignav with impunity. There's no chiyuv that we can be mechayev them. If there's no chiyuv, then there's nothing to rupture the shlichus. And therefore the shlichus would be valid. That's what the Gemara said. Ravina said that if the person is not a bar chiyuvah, that's Ravina's word. The shlichus is destroyed by the chiyuv of the shliach. If the shliach doesn't have a chiyuv, then the shlichus does not fall apart. In fact, the Gemara asks, over here by Eved Ve'ishu, they have no chiyuv. It's not very true, but they have no chiyuv. If they have no chiyuv, then there's nothing to destroy the shlichus. The Gemara answers, no, they have a chiyuv. They have a chiyuv. It's going to be IOU. They have a chiyuv that they owe the nignav money. When they come to money later, they'll pay it off. But where there is no chiyuv, then there's no din of any shlichus either. If this is true, then we can answer the contradiction in Rashi. We had a contradiction in Rashi. On the one hand, by not going into the details of the cases again, we had a contradiction in Rashi. In Baba Kama, Daf Ayin Tes, by stealing, Rashi said that if you send the shliach to steal, and the shliach is a shagig, then the shliach is a valid shliach by the identity theft case. You had the horse thief, instead of stealing the horse himself, he got some dupe to steal the horse for him. So there Rashi says it's a good shliach. Why? Because the shliach is, presumably because the shliach is a shagig. So he holds like Tosis, when the shliach is a shagig, then you can make a shliach dvar there. On the other hand, by Me'ilo, Rashi has a case where you send the mishaleach was amazing. He sent the shliach who doesn't know any, he thinks that it's money of, doesn't know it's money of Hekdesh. He's a dupe, he's a shagig. And there Rashi says, ein shliach dvar there, the shliach is no good. So it was a contradiction. Which way is it? When the shliach is a shagig, is the shliach is a dvar there, or is the no shliach is a dvar there? In the light of what I want to develop, the answer is the following. There's a big difference between Me'ilah and Gneb. By Me'ilah, there's a chiyuv for being a shagig. The Torah imposes a chiyuv on a shagig by Me'ilah. In fact, that's the only thing the Torah imposes the chiyuv on. So by Me'ilah, a shagig has a chiyuv. Chiyuv ruptures the shlichus. The chiyuv of the shlich ruptures the shlichus. By Gneba, a shagig has no chiyuv. If you steal deliberately, you hide. If you steal by accident, you're not out of it all. There's no shogig by a gnei. So if I send a dupe to, I send some guy unwittingly to take the horse for me, so he has no chiyuv at all. There's no chiyuv shogig. So since he has no chiyuv at all, there's nothing to rupture the shlichus. That's the answer. It's always the chiyuv of the shlichus. And that's, it all comes from Rashi's understanding of the Gemara Bava Metzia. Anyway, ein shlich dvarer is a very broad topic, and shiur we spent on this maybe 3 weeks. But this is at least a taste of some of the very interesting lamdas of ein shlichus dvarer. Thank you.